Track 9. Secrets and Lies.
Now it's that time again in the show when we hear your guiltiest secrets and your most terrible lies. Yes, it's confessions time. Be prepared for astonishing admissions before you decide who can be forgiven. Our first caller is Robert from New Hampshire. Time to get your secret off your chest, Robert.
Well, Larry, I'm ashamed to say, but during my final year at school, and it was a long time ago, we had to take a final exam in each of our classes. Our history teacher was a miserable man named Mr. Roper. Now, Mr. Roper was never the most encouraging of teachers. Well, he often told us that we were no good and would make sure that our final exam was too difficult to pass so that we couldn't graduate. Anyway, one day, just before our final exam, he excused himself from our history class, and, unusually for him, he didn't lock his desk. So, with my fellow classmates watching intently, I took it upon myself to go to the front of the class and look inside his desk. There, like a glistening treasure, were a fresh stack of our final exams. Keeping an eye on the classroom door, I read aloud all the questions to my eager audience. I had never known them to be so silent or attentive. I then quickly replaced the paper and returned to my seat. Mr. Roper came back into the classroom to find the whole class looking quietly studious. Well, you can imagine, the result was that everybody passed the final exam with flying colors. The school had never known such wonderful results, and Mr. Roper was complimented on the high quality of his teaching. I ask forgiveness, please, for letting 30 students pass a final history exam that they otherwise would not have passed. However, some of them did go on to become industry leaders and have careers as CEOs and judges.
Oh, Robert, that was a naughty thing to do. But we have all been tempted when it comes to final exams. Now on to Kevin from Massachusetts.
Yeah, all right, Larry. Now, I am a big Boston Red Sox fan, and a few years ago found myself in the awkward situation of marrying into a family of diehard New York Yankees fans. One Saturday afternoon, I was at home relaxing, watching a sports report, while my then 4-year-old daughter was at the other end of the sofa coloring. She suddenly looked up at me and asked, "Daddy, what baseball team do you root for?" I told her the Boston Red Sox, and her next words made my blood run cold. "Really? I root for the Yankees." I was horrified. The thought of my darling daughter becoming a Yankees fan was just too much, so without really thinking, I replied, "Well, that's a shame, because Santa Claus does not visit children who root for the Yankees." My daughter looked at me in horror, and I realized the full weight of the statement I'd just made. The natural thing to do at this point would have been to give her a hug and tell her that Daddy was only joking. But instead, I gave her a hug and told her not to worry, as all she needed to do was to become a Red Sox fan, and I would call Santa Claus and she'd be back on his good list. I would like to beg forgiveness from my lovely daughter for any sleepless nights I may have caused her.
Feel better now, Kevin. I really hope your little girl isn't scarred for life. So, moving on to the ladies. Surely they can't have such a shocking secret. Let's hear from Jane and find out. Jane from San Francisco.
When I was 15, I tried to earn some extra money by working at a local restaurant. This restaurant was very famous for an incredible fish soup, which was served with secret ingredients. I'd been given a little to try once, and it really was delicious. One night, when a table ordered the special dish, I was called by the chef to pick it up from the kitchen. It smelled absolutely fantastic, and my mouth started watering. Between the kitchen and the restaurant, there was a small corridor not visible from the kitchen or the dining area. The temptation was too great. I balanced the heavy soup dish in one hand, lifted the spoon with the other, and poured the soup into my mouth. What I hadn't considered was that the soup would be scalding hot. There I was in the corridor, unable to scream or make any noise. The boiling liquid began peeling the skin away from the roof of my mouth, and I was in agony. Terrified that the chef's wife would catch me, I did the only thing I could. I spat the soup back into the dish. Then I heard footsteps from the kitchen. There was no other option. I put my shoulders back, walked confidently out into the restaurant, and started to serve the soup to the poor unsuspecting diners who had no idea that there was a little extra ingredient among the mussels and monkfish. I ask forgiveness for my dreadful deed. I learned my lesson and never did it again.
Yuck! All I can say to you, Jane, is remind me never, ever to order the soup when I'm in San Francisco. And our final caller is Maggie from Oregon. What, dear Maggie, is your guilty secret?
Hello there. When I was an au pair working in France, I used to travel by bus and ferry. It was a long and difficult journey, and I preferred to travel at night in the hope of sleeping most of the way. Usually, I was lucky enough to sit next to someone who, like me, just wanted to get some shut-eye. But on one particular occasion, I found myself squashed into a corner by a large, smelly, talkative man. I politely engaged in conversation, hoping that he would eventually give up, but he didn't. Finally, between Calais and Paris, the bus made a pit stop, and many of the passengers got off to stretch their legs. After walking around for 10 minutes, I got back on the bus. There was no sign of my neighbor. The driver asked if everyone was back on board, but, I couldn't speak. Maybe it was the prospect of some much-needed peace and quiet, but I said nothing. Maybe he'd only been going this far anyway. Then I looked out of the window and saw the man running across the parking lot, waving frantically as we drove off into the night. I never even attempted to get the driver to stop. I couldn't think of a good reason why I hadn't noticed the man was missing in the first place. So when I got off the bus in the cold light of dawn, I disappeared before the driver realized that the man wasn't there. I now meekly seek forgiveness for leaving a poor man stranded in a foreign highway service station in the dead of night. I have been haunted by the vision of him running after us ever since.
So, there you have it, dear listeners. Today's four fibbers and wrongdoers. Who, if anyone, can we forgive